We'll call the public hearing to order pertaining ordinance number 147 dealing with mayor and council compensation to possibly begin the next year. It's just a formality having a public hearing. If anybody has any comments, questions pertaining to it.
Mayor and Council, only thing I got is just to point out under Section 3 of Chapter 30, the last part of the sentence there, where it says payment for special meetings. Currently in our ordinance and adopting this one moving forward, for special meetings, they would not be allowed to exceed payment for two special meetings per month. So I just wanted to bring that forth to your attention if you wanted to keep that in the ordinance.
Have we ever reached that?
At times.
We've had more than two?
It's possible if you have meetings outside. If we have two special, usually when it happens is when we have two special meetings for budget.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, it also constitutes the emergency meetings we've had this year. So really, this year is kind of the only time really where I've really run into that due to the number of meetings we've had this year, outside the norm, so to say. It's just something I want to point out, totally up to council as to how they want to dictate that language.
So we can handle that when we deal with it during our regular meeting. To amend that, then.
If we wish, we can pull that off the consent agenda.
Any other comments concerning the ordinance number 147? Otherwise, I think we'll call for, shall we adjourn it? Any other comments? So move. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to call the, or to close the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody would rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all. Nice night. We'll move on to a public comment. Anybody? Everybody, I think, has got a purpose here other than public comment. Has anybody?
I don't think so.
Okay, if everybody would maybe sign in tonight, please. I don't know if one of you wanted to just grab it or pass it around.
I just pass it around.
There's too many people here. All right, we'll move on to the agenda review. If there's any items to be added.
Mayor and Council, just a few items. Additions would be updated claims list, delinquency list. Item to add to consent agenda, unless Council feels otherwise. Under approved temporary on-sale liquor license for Hamburg Lions Club for October 18, 2014. To also add the date November 21st, 2014 for approval. And other thing would probably be to take off the consent agenda and discuss ordinance number 147. And that can be discussed where you feel appropriate.
I'll probably put that under your report.
Works for me.
Okay. Anything else from the council pertaining to the agenda? Motion made and seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the consent agenda. I recommend it to pull the adopt the ordinance number 147 on and discuss that later. And to add the two liquor license as additions. Anything else? Looking for a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda with the ordinance number 147 removed and the two liquor license added. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the fire department report. Mr. Buckateen.
Evening, gentlemen and committee. First on the agenda, you have the UFC review request, and I'll let Chris talk.
Sure.
He's kind of been handling that.
As you guys are aware, UFC is opening a fertilizer facility in our district, and in preparation of the facility, we started conversations with the State Fire Marshal Board, basically looking for tips, pointers on things that we can do ahead of time or kind of best practices of what we need to do as a fire department to ensure that we are reducing or any kind of risk to legal risk and also risk to lives, safety, and all that type of items. And so the biggest thing that they came back with was there's a state code, there's a state fire code that is set up for rural departments, and it's basically set up so that obviously we're not experts in large quantities of hazardous material storage. We do not claim to be experts, nor do we know the fire codes that go with the buildings associated with that type of product. So basically their recommendation was to basically request an independent review, and so that's what we went ahead and did. And actually, it looks like I haven't had a chance to review it yet, but it looks like it was actually completed this afternoon with an independent engineering firm. So the goal of the engineering firm was to review, to have an independent look at the facilities, the plans, and basically the infrastructure in place or that will need to be put in place to be able to support a site like this. So we have the review, came in about 5:30 this afternoon. So we're probably going to need some time, like about 4 days or so, to review it and make any kind of recommendations. We also have follow-up meetings later this week at Chief's Convention with the fire marshal, the deputy fire marshal that basically gave us this direction or this guidance, and then also his supervisor. And to UFC's, defense, we never came in thinking that they were going to build this unsafe. We always go in with the best interest that they're going to do it with the best interest for the people around it and for the community. It's just more risk mitigation in terms of if there's an accident, we got to go with the low probability of an accident, but the high risk because it doesn't happen very often. So we need to make sure that we had another party come in and take a look at the regulations to confirm that things are being done correctly. So that's really what the crux of why we requested. It sounds like right now it's actually Arlington is right now dealing the same thing with a couple propane providers as well, and they're working with the State Fire Marshal's office as well. So based on our conversations that we've had, it sounds like they're going to push them down the same path that we were on. So that's basically the review in a nutshell. UFC is also here with their permits and their processes and stuff like that to present later. A lot of the review is more like I said, we got CAD drawings and everything like that of what their current plans are and also potential future plans. While the future plans, obviously, because they're not here, they can change and they probably will change. So we have this in place now. I think if we could have got ahead of it a little bit sooner, some of this stuff we could have probably researched on our own and worked with the state and not have to go the drastic route. And I even asked Tom at the initial conversation, I thought it was, I'm like, is this actually, I mean, does, do people actually do this? Because it seemed kind of heavy-handed. He came back and he says, are you an expert in 33,000 gallons of anhydrous storage? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, there's your answer. So it's not that we don't train for it. Actually, last year we the department did do some transcare training with anhydrous, and I've also utilized resources with Department of Ag has some good plans, but they didn't have the fire code side, so that's why we went out to the fire marshal board for that side. You know, we've let's say we got what 1,200 hours of training last year, and then including anhydrous, so it's not that we're afraid of it. We just needed to call in an expert for this type of quantity. So,
I guess for the sake of the city, I appreciate, you know, that the fire department is looking out for the city because it's close. I mean, what is it, a little over a mile as the crow flies? You know, if something happens, depends which way the wind is, we can be affected. So I appreciate that, and I'm quite sure that UFC is done this before. They know, you know, I don't know the timing issue here, what you've had, you know, but I think it could, it sounds like it's all going to be worked out anyhow, am I, right? I mean, is there a representative from UFC that can enlighten or speak or wants
sure.
to? Or
you guys
want
to, you can
answer. Sure, I guess we're prepared to answer any questions you have, but I'd be happy to address them.
If you could come up.
Okay. That way you, that way we get you on tape.
Get you on camera?
Is well, no, right? We don't get that.
Well,
right.
Good, because I got a face for radio, so can't. So that's better.
Yeah.
Well, good evening. I'll just make a few comments. I've also brought some other folks along that in case there's any real complicated questions. First and foremost, I'll introduce myself. I'm Jeff Nielsen. I'm the general manager and CEO of UFC. Been there about 19 years. Grew up in this business, so I've been at it about 30 years. With me tonight, I brought along Doug Hoffman, who's our Director of Safety Compliance. As you know, I'll talk a little bit about UFC, but I won't bore you with that. So Doug oversees all the safety and compliance. We currently have about 400 employees across about 17 communities, so Doug's got his hands full with that. Butch Alton is our Vice President of Agronomy. He's been with us just about 30 years. We do currently operate four other anhydrous facilities and have been doing so. In fact, this year UFC will celebrate its 100th anniversary. We're not quite as old as Hamburg, but we've been around since 1915. Darren Purvis is with us tonight in case there's any questions. As you know, we can touch base on that to whatever degree the Council or Fire Department wants to about future plans. Originally, there was going to be an LP plant out there. Due to some of the timing, I think, Jeremy, we were able to get the information out to the Council ahead of time. So, board, you with all that wonderful permitting process that we go through. So we are permitted for LP. Our intent is to build the LP plant that we put in place next spring, do with all the construction that we had to do with turning lanes and MnDOT. We didn't get that done. But if there's questions about LP, Darren can answer that. Most importantly, we are a cooperative. We're owned by farmers. And Jim Alfie is our board of director member from the Hamburg area, serves on the USC board. So had enough meetings today, Jim? We had our audit meeting this morning, so we've had enough meetings today. So I guess what I do real quickly, and then most importantly, get to answer some questions and present some information. I also handed out a packet. I think I got enough for council members. The only intent in there is a lot of information about UFC, because while we're sort of new to the Hamburg area, we have been around since 1915. Laconia Farm Supply became a part of us last September. We're pleased to be a part of Hamburg. And, of course, most everything that we will have out at the new site south of town, the crop protection products and seed, you've been dealing with in Hamburg for many, many years. So nothing's new there. What is new is the anhydrous facility and then the LP plant that will go into place next year. So what I'd like to do is just not take any more of your time up. There's lots of information in there. Winter's coming, so if it isn't good information, start your fireplace, I suppose.
Excuse me, you say an LP plant.
Yes.
That is basically, it's going to be trucked in
Correct.
The meantime and then distributed?
Correct. It'll look exactly like what you see out there now. And if you drive through any community around Minnesota, LP plants are everywhere. They're exactly the same type of facility. If you got, you know, it's a 30,000 gallon tank. Looks exactly like what you see out there. But instead of bringing a pressure vessel filled with anhydrous fertilizer, it's LP gas. And any of you that heat with LP, you know what last winter was like. We've actually constructed just about 400,000 gallons of new storage. And actually, that's which we over doubled our capacity, because any of you that had buy LP gas last year knows what that was like. So we've put plants up all over. 20 new sites?
18.
Thank you, Darv. And this would be the 19th new site that we've constructed just this year. Several of them on farms, others in other areas, to make sure that our customers don't have to endure what they did. Well, to reduce the risk that they'll have to endure what we did last year. So that's what an LP site is. Simply bring the transports in and then redeliver to the farms and homes from there.
Is the site going to be fenced at all?
At this point, we don't intend it to be fenced. That's not a requirement. Okay. We will have a gate on the... intent is to put a gate on the east side of the tracks just to kind of deter people from getting over there. But obviously, we follow all regulations that are required at this point. We don't have them fenced. It's not a requirement.
Okay, I was just curious. You know, you've got some of these people that like anhydrous for other stuff.
They actually stopped. They did that about 3-4 years ago. They used alternatives. We haven't had us. We were getting that stolen from us all the time, nightly. And that stopped about 3-4 years ago. They have an alternative product to use.
Really?
That they use, yes.
Well, I guess I don't follow that close. So.
We noticed it right away. It stopped.
We actually worked with the DEA on that and some investigations. Even those folks learned quick enough that when they don't know what they're doing, anhydrous can be dangerous, and so they found something different.
Okay.
But it was an issue about 3-4 years ago.
But you're securing the tank, so I mean, it's not like...
Right.
They can get to the tanks, but the valves are locked. So
absolutely.
I don't just want to point out that the fencing is required for us to lure on the valve in of our propane tank.
Okay.
So that will be fenced and locked.
Okay.
And then, of course, then on the traffic side of these tanks where it's accessible, you have crash barriers.
Okay.
That is part of the requirements in our, you know, we use the National Fire Protection Code, the NP 58. So that's what we go by, and that's what's been adapted by the state of Minnesota.
Well, like I said, I know you'll probably follow the regulations. Why wouldn't you? But I just don't know all this stuff, so
absolutely.
That's why we have questions.
That's why we're here.
I appreciate that.
One comment. Dick Red, you worked with Tony Ford many years, right? Downtown Tony, there's 230,000 LP tanks right by our site there.
Yeah.
And in Cologne, Mid County's got a 30 LP and an anhydrous tank right in town, right on the edge of town.
Yeah, and we're not concerned about that. We just wanted another part of it was just to make sure
there's other instructions were that have right in town.
Okay, yeah, that's true. You know, there's.
So there's it's going to be 133, or is it going to be 233,000 for LP?
Our intent is to do 130,000 gallon of propane at some point next year. Okay? Because of everything that happened, the one we had designated to them, because of the response of how we're replacing them in the country, we can move that one to another spot, which worked out very well. So we'll get one at some point in time and do it, because it doesn't pay for us to hurry it in spring and sit there for 3-4 months. So at some point in time, after we understand all the wants and needs, that we can make sure we can
do. Sure. Okay? And I understand the peak season probably.
But just
right
one
now.
For now. It might be in a 5-year plan, depending on where everything goes with propane, because of the Cochin pipeline not being here. There might be a requirement that we would put a second one.
Okay.
That would be the most that would ever be.
How much of your product will be coming in by rail?
At this point, none. But we selected that site in case down the road you just don't know. So once you go through the permitting process that we've been at for over a year, you want to make sure you have options. Currently, we don't have any intent. There's nothing in the initial plans to put a rail spur in, but obviously we could do that, and that would require another round of processes.
Do you envision that happening in 5 years or 10 years? Or?
I wish I knew. I would like to think that we would be smart enough as a, that's an editorial, If we put pipelines in like we should, we can avoid that, but I can't answer that. But if you don't build alongside the rail, you don't ever have that opportunity, and that's why we did it. And there's a, again, I want to be respectful of your time, but as Board Member Elfke indicated, these are all over the communities, but if you build them today, for example, there's a lot of setback rules. So we have to follow all of those, as was indicated in your packets. So today you can't build an anhydrous plant within 400 feet of any resident or occupied deal. So that's why we ended up in Hamburg, is New Germany, when we retook possession of that from Laconia Farm Supply, we were out of compliance. We work well with the state, so they let us run it, but also indicated that, you know, you need to have a plan to move out. That's how we ended up here.
Okay.
So, again, I guess no further questions. I'd like to suggest to the council and the mayor is that I'd like to just introduce Doug Hoffman real quickly. One of the requests that, Chris made was an emergency response plan, and those are always done. But it's interesting how those things work. You can't get those completed until you have an EPA number assigned to you. You can't get an EPA number assigned to you until the plant is in place and tested. So everything has to happen in the process. So we're very pleased tonight, Chris. We actually have the actual plan completed. We can present that tonight. So I'm going to introduce Doug Hoffman, if that's all right, because he's the expert on
Jeff,
that.
Jeff, before you go,
yeah.
Just one quick question. Currently in town, you know, we have the farm supply.
Yep.
Will this in any way affect the buildings within city limits?
Our long-range plan, because of the fact that it's really tight there, our long-range plan is I think, in the packet. I'll just review it quick. Phase one was to put the anhydrous and LP there. Phase two next summer, we'll be building an ag service center building there. Our intent would be to move the packaged goods, seed, and crop protection products that are currently on the site, what I call by the tracks. Mm-hmm. That'll move out there. We'll also move the feed that's in a building that Norm runs by the baseball field. All of that will move next summer. So then all that will be left in town is we'll seasonally run that fertilizer plant, probably for the next 2 years. Eventually, our intent is to be completely out of town because you almost can't turn around there. And quite frankly, next to a ballpark downtown isn't where you want to have those facilities. We've already been contacted by a couple of people in town that have expressed some interest in redeveloping that property to something else, and long term, that's where we'd see ourselves going.
Just one question, if I may add, keep me in the loop on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I guess that's the one thing, Jeremy, that perhaps we were at fault of. We followed the process in Sibley County because that's where we were building. We should have probably sought out an opportunity to come and talk to you sooner, but we're here now, yep. And we certainly, Jeremy, now that you and I have communication going, we'll keep in the loop as those plans develop.
Appreciate it.
Answer your question?
Yeah.
Yep. Again, I'm not going anywhere, so we'll be more than happy to answer any questions, but I think to keep the business at hand, I'll introduce Doug and let him review the council quickly, the emergency action plan and that we have presented, and go from there.
Thank you.
Thank you. I guess I've just got a few things. As, yeah, if you would. And one of those is basically Chris touched on it pretty well already as far as the engineering report. And it is. Mm-hmm. It is basically the ink is still wet. You know, it was about 5:30 when this report comes. So, and there will be more information that he'll have you know, sent to both Chris and ourselves, you know, throughout that. So within that is one of the engineering report. The EPA, environmental, they request that for every anhydrous site, you do a risk management plan. And that risk management plan has been completed for the anhydrous site. Basically what some topics in there are emergency action plans, of course, if there are emergencies, operating procedures, inspection procedures, and MSDS, of course, those are supposed to be on site for your products, and compliance documentation, hazard review documentation. Also, it also has in there emergency shutdown So there's a lot of good information supplemented with this information. I think there'll be a lot of vital information of the whole anhydrous process there. So is there any questions on that? Either one of those?
Does the fire department get any of the copies of the MSDS?
This is the fire department's copy. We also have a copy that will be on site. They're required to be on site. So this will be handed over tonight to the fire department as far as that goes. So with that, I guess we did also just want to tell you that, of course, with anhydrous ammonia, we have obtained the fertilizer license from the Department of Ag for that site as well. So the licensing and the permitting, I think we're pretty much in line. It's just some of this engineering report and some of those final things that need to be ironed out yet. Okay. But with that, the last but not least, of course, the state requires on that the fire that you offer visits or visitations, site visits annually for the fire department and emergency personnel crew. That currently, and I believe I had sent it to Justin and Chris, both got the email, is Monday night, 5:30 at the site. So what we will do is we will tour the facility. So any questions, it'll be for the Hamburg Fire Department as well as neighboring Green Isle Fire Department. So both fire departments will be there. Now, who I've got, and in your packet, you see there's some credentials there of Jack Volts. He currently is with our insurance company, plus that's our compliance company. Jack, I don't know if those credentials are quite long there. It would take me quite a while. He's quite knowledgeable on the situation. He will do the actual training, and you guys might even know Jack from previous fire training. Jack Bolton is from Minnesota Lake.
Yeah.
So
he's also been a fire chief for 25 years.
Yeah. So he will be the trainer as well for both those fire departments Monday night. So with that, I guess that's what I've got. You know, if there's any questions.
As to the LP tank, do you have any safeguards in place that will help prevent the problem that they had in Waconia 3 or 4 years ago when that kid got killed? I mean, I was right across the street from that when that thing blew up. But it shook our whole building.
I can address that.
Yeah. Aware of what happened to that. Do you remember what happened? So the short answer to your question is we won't be doing the process at this site that was going on there. What they were doing is refilling small cylinders. And long story short, it was a horrible event that happened prior to us being a part of that. But
Jim, were you on board then?
No, I was not at that time.
But very long story short, what happened is that's where you go and fill your little tanks for your grills or fish houses or whatever. And someone brought in a tank that they had bought at an auction that was an acetylene tank. And acetylene and LP do not get along. And as a fire trainer, you're probably familiar, it's instant bad. And so that's what happened. And I can tell you the entire industry changed policies. Remember all the valves in your tanks all had to change. All this stuff changed to avoid that from ever happening. But the short answer to your question is that procedure of refilling tanks, what happened there? We'll be refilling trucks.
Yeah, only our bobtails. And the thing is that was acetylene that was in a certified propane container.
Okay.
So it was mislabeled. It wasn't mislabeled, it was a propane tank let off ascending into that. So that's where the concern came. The problem is the young gentleman that killed in that, there was no way the process of how you fill any of those, it would have changed the effect.
He had no idea.
It was a horrible accident. I'm just wondering, and that was a good answer, that this industry has changed and you have a safeguard for that, because I had heard from the Carver County Sheriff's Department that was what the deal was it was a tank that was unregistered, nobody knew what it was, some guy just brought it in and said fill it up, and it was the acetylene, and it just combusted together, so Again, I was just wondering whether or not you had any kind of, some, I mean, if you got 400,000 gallons of propane sitting down there, we really don't want it blowing up around here, let's put it that way.
No. Well, that's a totally different thing.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions, or do you have anything more?
Nope, that's it.
Chris, you have
thank you.
All okay?
No, I'll go through this. The one thing I do, and I can always hit Steve up, is if there's going to be any kind of locations of shut-off valves, if we can get that marked on one of these.
Sure. Yep.
Are they in the tanks?
I would have one question. I understand your process, which you're going to go through. The hydrous season will technically start a week from probably yesterday.
Yep.
We do have, the site is state approved to store transport tanks, about 1,500. I was requesting is if until you have your process that you can actually put product in the storage tank, being it is state approved that we could park the tanks there, the small tanks, could we stage them there without using the big storage tank?
Yeah, and I talked to Joel about that. I said, as a business, I would expect you guys to have some sort of contingency.
That is a law that, because we can't just take two or five or six and put them anywhere, because that is against the law, but that site now.
Right now, the only thing I am focused on right now is the main storage, long-term storage. So the smaller tanks, you guys got a business around it. We don't want to impact it any more than what this has done. So.
Thanks.
So.
Appreciate that. A couple other clarifications, just so we're aware, is There won't be a building there now, so what will be there is a small storage shed to hold emergency action plans, rescue equipment, and that type of thing. Again, with the delays that just happened, with the turning lanes is and everything else, we had to move the driveway. I think I expressed all that in the email. We weren't able to get that, so we'll have to run on temporary power. And so, just so everybody knows, that's what we'll be doing. I guess if I could add to Butch's, again, thank you very much for allowing us to serve the farmers. The question I guess I'd have for council, you know, we're happy to provide anything you request, and we'll move as fast as we can. It's what we do. We're owned by the community, so we're not interested in doing anything to cause harm. The emergency action plan was presented to Chris tonight is required. I've been at this 30 years, haven't ever been asked for an engineering report before, which is 100%, you're right, happy to comply. So that's now been provided. The decision to allow us to run the plant is now in your hands.
Yes.
The state has approved it. So we're going to do training Monday night. Would you anticipate, Chris, that we'd be able to start using that facility next week? If we complete the training, we've completed all the engineering report.
We've discussed already about probably about Monday would be, but give us plenty of time to be able to review this. If there's any questions, then we should be able to get you an answer by Monday.
And that isn't said that we can run, we could even run Monday. After we are completing the site, which would be this week, it still has to be reinspected by the state one more time before we can run.
Yep.
So it might not, we might not be able to, but as long as we have your blessing,
then we want to move it as quick as we can, but we want to also to be careful in making sure that we're not missing anything, so that's why we're asking for this.
Are you required to have any type of hydrant system down there or an oversized well in case, you know, the fire department needs water down there, or do they have to truck it in? Do you have a well on site that could have?
We are not required to have. We're required to have safety tanks for someone to jump into if they're exposed, but we're not required to have water. We will have when we build next year. We will have a well there when we have built the building. Yes.
And I mean, will that be like an oversized well, so you know, for sprinkler systems in your buildings and stuff like that? And so, if the fire department has to go down there, they can use drawing that water supply, or won't that have the capacity?
I'm going to say it won't have that capacity.
Okay.
And just so we understand, this required to burn, of course, when we blow burst, we'll provide more training. But, and hydrous doesn't burn, and it's all steel. So in that particular site, there's not much that can burn.
LP comes in.
But even LP, you have to put that out. But it'd be the gas that would be burning, which requires a different. And as part of our permitting process, just to reiterate,
We do go back for building permits each part. That was part of the covenants that were contained in the building permit that I passed on through. So each of those additional stages will require, you know, go through another permit process. But the conditional use permits have been granted for all of the phases.
All right. It sounds like everybody's got their stuff in order. So I guess, you know, with the city, we just want to be good neighbors and stuff too. You know, so we've seen it going up, but didn't know much about it.
Yeah. I just think the bottom line in today's world, everybody's just trying to cover their backside.
Right. Yeah. And I think after the events that happened last year, there's a little more, especially the marshal, fire marshal's office, I think, just fire in general, of just making sure things are that's all our intent is. We're not trying to be bad neighbors and unwelcome.
And now, Chris, you do realize that there is an agreement that hydrants would not be handled in this town when the purchase of Laconia was when that whole transaction happened. So just so you know, there will be an hydrant tanks coming through town to use that scale. There won't be any handling, but they will be using that scale at the Hamburg feed mill just for this fall, because they'll have the scale and everything finished next year, just so that doesn't come as a surprise to anyone. They'll be coming to use the scale in town.
In the past, we as a Pony Farm Supply use that scale the way tanks.
These are simply the tanks that you'll see on every farmer's field.
Yeah.
So they're that's
yeah, as long as they're locked and secured, that some kid can't try to mess with anything on it. I wouldn't see
them. They won't be stored.
They won't be stored here.
No, but I mean, if it's stopped and they're getting doing paperwork or whatever, I mean, I know my kid's going to get into stuff
quicker. The small tanks are required to be locked. They're going to, this main storage tank, when not in use, has to be locked. But the actual, the little tanks you're going to see that are all over in the country, they are not locked. There's not locks on them.
So how long are these going to be in while they're, I mean, doing their paperwork in town?
No, they're just waiting.
Drive through scale, so they're not getting a ticket or anything.
But it's, you know, again, these are the same tanks that, whether they're in town or on the field 150 feet out of town.
Yeah, but there's also not a baseball field next to the fields. That's where my concern is.
They won't be staged in town. That's why we appreciate the opportunity to stage them all there where they can be controlled.
And it's nothing that hasn't happened in the past.
We're not doing anything that's a great point. All of the crop protection, see, anything that you've been dealing with for however long the supply's been in town is what we'll be doing. Now we're out of town, which we think is better.
Mm-hmm. I'll agree with that. No, that's good. Glad you could make it tonight so we could get the information and learn about it.
Our family's using that hydrant for 47 years.
My concern is more of seeing with someone getting into it.
Years ago, there were probably 25 of them lined up along the tracks.
Yeah, I don't think the fire department had anything to do with that to begin with back then. Maybe that was from the city or right?
Yeah. No, it was just part of doing business there.
So, there's no other questions in closing. I just say we appreciate the time to be here, Jerry, Mayor, Council. We'll keep in touch as we develop plans going forward. The contact information is in there. You need to get a hold of any of us for any reason. That's what we're here for. So, just give us a shout, and we'll be happy to make sure we have a better job of communicating in the future.
Sounds great. Appreciate you guys coming.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out tonight and enlightening us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. All right, you guys. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
We'll see you Monday.
All right. Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, UFC, for coming out, too. And I think Chris, he really took a lot here. He did a lot with this for being project manager, you know what to look for, and I'd like to thank him for that.
We appreciate all your donated time there on that.
It's part of the salary. Next on the agenda, a resignation letter from Brenda Jurek. They brought up last month it wasn't signed. It is signed now. So.
Are you resignation or retirement?
Probably be retirement.
Retirement.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. resignation kind of sounds
final. That sounds right. I agree with you. That's my bad.
And the same with Gene Steer. He had given his letter as of September 30th. And I believe he was 21 years and four months or something like that. But we'll get the numbers to Jeremy for the next meeting. And
yeah. So I think at next meeting we can do a certificate of appreciation.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you had said. We'd wait to get it approved first.
So basically we need a motion to accept the retirements of Brenda Jurek and Gene Steer.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to accept the retirement of firefighter Brenda Jurek and firefighter Gene Steer. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll have to thank them for their service then.
Next, we have fire department officers, elections, wages for 2015. We had set up our election committee last month. One thing that was kind of brought up was switching some officers around. The fire chief would stay the same. First assistant would stay the same. One thing in talking with the county, they're kind of moving to a training officer being a chief. It's kind of about half and half. Some keep them as captains. Some are going to chiefs. We just thought the way the trend is going, we brought it up to the membership. They thought, too, we'd make the training officer the third chief. We'd still keep two captains. We'd make the captain one would be a medical captain, which what the third chief was before was basically the medical officer. We'd make that a medical captain. They'd deal with all the medical equipment, and also they would be assistant training officer just to help the workload out with the training officer, because the way the training is now from what it was 15 years ago is...
Yeah.
I mean, that person needs help, whoever they are.
And go on.
Oh, would you have something else with that?
Captain 2, what would he be?
Oh, Captain 2 would be an equipment. That's just...
Oh, yeah?
Some of the issues we've been having, it's been a lot of equipment issues.
Oops, right there.
Uh-huh. We would like to add... basically just another equipment officer to have another person to go to with equipment issues. They would be the de facto leader of our truck detail crew that goes every month. And that was added, but you can't see the reds and the blues now. So. And the secretary we would keep, but it would not be an operations secretary. It'd just be also an officer, so we'd still have the five colored hats, I guess, and secretary as well, which is what most other departments are doing or have gone to already. So that's the way we'd like to restructure our officer program. As far as the pay goes, I guess I'd ask for $150. For that other secretary, which would bring that up to 400. So all the officers would stay the same. We'd have $1,000 a year if we'd be the chief. All other officers would then be $400 a year. Because what we were at, secretary, was 650, and we'd be able to make another captain spot with that 400, and if that 250 carried over, we could get just an extra 150. That would keep us in line with the other secretaries in the county.
So basically you're just looking at there'd be $150.
Between, yeah, all our salaries together. Yep, would be an extra $150 would make $1,000, and then all the others would be $400 a year.
Which would take effect next year.
Right.
Which doesn't sound a lot of reasoning, so. Council?
I'll make a motion to that effect.
Oh, we can address that when we adopt the city fee schedule by ordinance, and it'll be in there,
yeah,
so that's where
there.
We'll have to address it.
Good point.
Okay. And that, well, I guess it wouldn't matter.
We'll do that in December.
Yeah, we have elections in November, so I don't think it's going to sway anybody
right
too much. So
you might have a whole bunch want to have a position.
I don't think that's going to be the deciding factor.
No, I don't. So you got that noted then for the extra 150?
Yep.
Wonderful.
So do we need a motion, or is that going to wait until...
That'll go with
okay. The... Okay, I just... If there's nothing more on that, I'll move on. We had the DNR grant. I brought that up last month, just giving you a heads up. We got the two sets of fire gear we got to get. We want to make sure we brought that up to the members first to see which way they wanted to go. Instead of opening up and rebidding everything over again, we decided to go with the Globe gear. Watertown, Mayor Waconia are also going with it. So we talked to the, or actually Watertown's fire chief had talked to the vendor already, and they're going to cut us even a little better deal if we all go together on it. So we're going to meet up this weekend up at Chief's convention and get together with the vendor. So we'll order up two sets, and because he said if we can order, maybe we get 10 sets between the four of us and give us a little better deal too.
And then is that something you're going to look at next year too then?
And that's what we, with the members,
figure it out.
We're going to stay with Globe and we'll keep ordering with them to try and stick together.
Right now almost all the gear is considered obsolete by so the problem is if you buy them all at once or you get a grant, then every piece of gear hits that wall at the same time.
One big hit.
So if we stagger it, it's a little more manageable.
Yeah.
I think you guys already proved last month to go with the three sets into the budget. So.
Two, I think. Is it two? I think it was two. Or was it three?
I thought it was three.
I have to look.
Yeah, I thought
but three. Just if you, after conferences or whatever, whenever you have a rough idea, give me a shout out what they think that's going to cost per set.
Well, it was we had met with them earlier year. It was 1700.
1700.
So it'll be 1700 or less.
Okay.
And get them down a little.
Just so I know for budget. I'll double check that.
We had the trucks DOT inspected. We did three of them this year. It was Engine 11, Rescue 11, and Engine 12. Both Rescue 11, which is a heavy rescue, and Engine 12 is the yellow backup engine. They both passed inspection. Engine 12 just had a heater hose that was broke off, and that hasn't been heating for a while, so he fixed that today.
Yep.
Engine 12 was fixed today. Rescue 11 will be going in tomorrow. That had muffler was leaking on it or broke. And biggest thing with that was the air conditioner hasn't been working all year. So he's going to look into that. And that is the one that's leaking oil. So he's going to see if he can do a cheap fix on it and wash it off and see if it's just a gasket. He said if it's a sensor, they're a lot more expensive. But if he can...
A lot of times about leaks.
And that's what he had said. But if he can get by with it, find it, and fix it with an O-ring or gasket.
Who's doing the repairs?
Paul Pieper. Arlington, what's the name? Pete's Repair.
Okay, I guess I don't know him.
When you come into Arlington, at right when you come into town on the north end where that Scott building is, he's back behind there.
Okay.
He works trucks, farm equipment, DOT inspections.
All right.
You are correct. It's three sets.
And engine 11 did fail the DOT, and that failed on tires, on the back tires. Two of the sets on the one side were just weather cracked, so he said he won't pass that one. The two on the other side, he said we could pass them, but they're close behind. Why I'm bringing that one up, that will be over the $1,000 threshold. He gave a quote, it'd be $1,900. I think it was $1,907, I don't know for sure. But it was under $2,000 for four sets, or four tires, and the shutoff valve has been sticking for years. He said he could throw that in for about $150, get that a whole new cord put in. And Gene Steer had worked on that for years, lubing it up and trying, and he said towards the end, he said, I can't fix it anymore. It's, you gotta pull so hard one of these times, you're gonna pull it right out.
Do you feel comfortable in that bid with the tires?
Yeah, that was the cheaper bid. He actually said he liked them tires better. Them were the ones he would have wanted. They were $30 cheaper than the next one. There was I think they were $380 apiece. Their $395 was another set, and it was $420 or something. I guess my feeling is that truck's going to be here for at least another 20, 25 years.
Well, yeah, you got to, I mean, you're not going to risk it.
Right. Well, two we got to do. We know we got to do. Yeah. But I think we should do the other two, get them done.
Exactly. It doesn't pay to...
Right. Exactly. It's not worth
next year?
No. Going around the corner and having something blow up when we know they're bad.
So. Yeah.
Council?
I'll move.
We need it.
Go for the tires.
And that valve. Not to exceed 2,000, you think?
I think if we go to 2,000, yeah. Because the bid was under that, so I think we should.
No,
I'll let him know that.
Just in case, I'm quite sure he probably knows, but sales tax.
He know. I talked to him. He knew about it already. So I brought it up to him, and he said he dealt with, I think, City of Arlington or something. So he knew about it before I told him. So.
Just...
Right. I forgot a few times this year. Jeremy's reminded me. So
didn't we address this up to nonsense the last time? Didn't we want firm estimates on money? Or
I've got it. I can go get it. I just don't remember offhand. He gave me the quote. I think it was $1,900.
Okay, so you do have an estimate in writing then.
Yep, for that one. Not these other ones were smaller.
Because we ran into a problem with that before, and I guess we kind of decided that we want anything we're going to put money into, even if it is just a fire, even if it is not just, but if it was one of the fire trucks or whatever, we want an estimate in writing before we actually pass something like that.
Okay. Just to cover
and up. We, yeah, I can, if you want it, I can go print it off. It's on the computer. I know it was under 2000. He gave it.
And
it's
say they have something in writing.
$2,000 and...
You know.
Yeah, and I always get, when we order, I get quote. I mean, some of this, like with the rescue, he can't give a quote on, doesn't know what's wrong with the air conditioner. So.
I feel more comfortable when we have an estimate in writing. I mean, estimate's an estimate, we understand that.
Right.
But that we have something in writing, so when we say up to, we're just trying to avoid that up to whatever amount, or is it going to cost $1,400 because he said up to $2,000. He charges $1,900. Just trying to keep people honest.
Right, and he gave me that for this, for rescue, for the four tires. He gave a quote.
How about if I amend
I'll print
my
it off? I can get it to Jeremy.
If I amend my motion to approve the expenditure, not to exceed the amount of the quotation.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Okay. For the estimate.
That sounds perfect.
Is there a second? Motion made and seconded to approve the replacement of the four tires and one shutoff valve, not to exceed the estimate as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
That's engine 11.
Carried.
Yes, the front line one, yep. I think the pension, you guys have already approved the $25 raise. We'd let our members know about that last meeting, so.
Can you copy of minutes for that?
Yes, you probably will. Yep, Gary will need them.
Okay. Anything else?
I just started training on there. We trained last Monday. We went down with NYA to the scale facility and worked with them. And we got some live fire last night out back here. We had a trailer from Fire Inc. came out. So
it's a rollover, and so it's supposed to simulate flashover conditions, but it's more of a rollover trailer. So.
But as far as getting to see live fire 2 weeks in a row is kind of good for the guys. So I'm getting to work with Norwood.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice working with them because any fire we have now at the Ottawa and Austin and Norwood are going, unless it's in Sibley County, and Austin Green Isle are started. So. Other than that is all I have.
Any other questions on UFC or any of that review process?
I would guess that UFC probably have a ton of permits they have to get through this.
Thank you.
So, I mean, that's really, I'm sure it's scrutinized really strictly.
It was unfortunate that we were kind of late in the game get being involved with it, and I think that's kind of why we're in the situation that we were.
Well, can I ask Chris, now with all the back and forth emails and...
I hope it ends.
and the work and, you know, the dedication you've had towards this, do you feel it was hopefully
We're on the right path. We still have some things that I see that I'd like to have. Like I would like to have safety shutoffs listed on these CADs so that somebody here that may not be super familiar would be able to look at the chart.
It's fine that it's out there,
yep.
But it'd be nice as you're going out there to look at it so
you
would know where you need to
have. They're going to know ahead of time where stuff is versus having to waste time trying to find it. It's all trying to get ahead of the game.
All right, wonderful. Anything else, counsel, for any of the gentlemen here? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
We'll move on to the Old City business.
I have no updates on Old City business.
Now, this annexation, is that, that was sent?
It has not been. I apologize.
Is there a timeline sometime?
On my to-do list. I'll get it done.
This year?
Yes. I'm almost caught up from the year, so I've been able to start working on other things. I got these claims behind us now, hopefully, so by next meeting I'll have it done.
We'll move on to Public Works. Mr. Schultz.
Door down on the garage down there has been replaced finally. That was done by Timber Garage Door Systems LLC out of Winsted, Minnesota. Had a hard time with the company out of Norwood. Called them about five times and they never did come back with an estimate. And had another estimate. And this one here came in quite a bit cheaper. And the guy was here within 2 weeks to install it, so it's a little bit different than what the other one was. The windows are a little bigger, so he just said basically if we take the other one out this winter, then we'll have a matching set. So,
well, you just have to have somebody park over further.
Anyway, that's done. I had a guy come out to look at the roof on the community hall, and that we were hoping to just, maybe fix a few cracks and stuff. It's not going to be the case. He said if we'd have caught it 5 years ago, maybe. But moisture has gotten underneath the foam, and the foam has let go in several places. So he will be coming back with a little coring machine that he's got to actually see how big the areas are that have let go. He said that needs to be adhered to the metal, otherwise you get moisture underneath it and it'll eventually rot the metal out and then you really got problems. So it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be more than we thought. He said he was going to probably be back this week, but there's several spots towards the north side of the building when you walk on there that's actually spongy. You can feel that it's let go. So, but what he needs to do is he needs to actually core it to see how big the spots are, and then he said what they would have to do is grind the foam off, treat the area, and then refoam it, and then the whole thing would need to be power washed and recoated is what would have to happen. But so we won't have an estimate until he actually finds out how much of it is actually shot. And he said he thought he'd be back this week, and then I will also try and get a second estimate from Cole's Foam Coat if they ever get back to me and get back in Minnesota instead of working in Iowa. So that's where we sit on there.
And Greg, that's probably a 2015 project, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's something that's going to probably need to be budgeted.
Able to do it this year, right?
Yeah, no, he said anyway. He said with the weather, how it's been, and the temperatures and stuff, he said that's nothing he would want to try and tackle this fall anyway. So I said, well, I know for a fact it didn't just start leaking this year either, so.
True.
You know. the roof down on the in the park, we had what was his name down there?
Dan Elfke.
Dan Elfke. Yeah, according to Jeremy, he was gonna pull all the
nails.
All the nails and replace them with screws, but that's a little bit more of a job. Plus, he was starting to wreck some of the tin by doing that.
Somebody, where it overlapped.
Yeah.
It'd have a ridge and it'd overlap, and because it's kind of hollow underneath there to try to get them 3-inch nails out, he said they were wrecking the tin. I said, well, if they're seated, leave them seated.
Yeah.
He said, I said, otherwise caulk them and leave them for now. And he said he'd come back out in spring, like when we get a rainy day, so he could reassess the roof, and he can kind of see if there are spots that are leaking yet, and then
all
we can address them.
All the ones that were popped, though, he did pull out.
Yeah, he pulled
every screw
where he could. He took all the nails out, put screws in, and pulled all the pop ones, put them back in. And he said that it'll be less than, most likely less than the $1,500 that he had quoted. But he would like to come back out in the spring on a rainy day, kind of take a look at the building and then assess if there's any future areas we need to address on it. So.
Sounds fair.
So that's about the best solution we could come up with. I didn't want him up there, you know, trying to remove all these, you know, nails and end up with 8 more holes in the roof. Unnecessary holes in the roof, so.
What happened with the bid then? And was a bid then?
Yeah, he said he gave an estimate of $1,500, but he said it most likely be less than that.
Oh. He didn't give you an estimate
of the cost? No, he said he was going to put something together and get it to me.
I just about have all of the city grounds sprayed this year for weeds. I got a little bit more around the pond over here. We got some creeping Charlie issues that I got to hit a couple more times, but everything in the city should be sprayed, and you should see less dandelions and plantain and everything else in there next year, which should make it look a little better and keep the neighbors a little happier.
I think with that, Greg, for the 2015 budget, if you want to look at what kind of sprayer you want. I believe now Greg's using his own equipment.
Yeah.
I think that's something that should get added to the budget.
Yeah.
Something that's definitely has gotten used this year, and I think it's definitely something the city should look at purchasing.
Do we have any kind of a sprayer? Do we have a pull behind? Or?
He has one down there. It's old, small, decrepit, one with like little wheelbarrow tires on that it's not really even feasible to. It's got a boom on it that's raised about this wide, and it's something that, I don't know, they want to try and sell or something. I mean, it's just not. It's not a very.
It's not for city use.
What's that?
It's not really.
No,
for city use.
Somebody with a little yard, it would maybe be okay, but you know, the spray hose he's got on there is a little air hose, one of the little. Flexible ones. I mean, like when I spray by the ponds and stuff, I got to go down in the rocks and stuff. You need something, you know, 20, 30 feet of hose and more than a probably a 25-gallon tank or whatever that thing is on there. That otherwise I'm back and forth,
oh, yeah.
Filling up.
I mean,
and
find something that fits your needs is going to pay for itself compared to you.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, if you guys want to go and look at that old one, that thing is. I would guess at best early 70s, and it's just it's more for like a small yard use,
okay.
not a big park or parks and the areas that we got to cover. I think all it was ever really used for was probably a little Roundup here and there, I suppose.
Probably.
Because I know years back I used to spray for the city. They used to contract me out or whatever, and I don't think it's been done since that, kind of from the looks of it. So.
Well, I think Greg's been pretty generous too, and using his own four-wheeler and the equipment, you know, attached there too, because he used that lot out at the ponds, and he's used it, you know, all over town. And so I think, you know, the city buying something so he doesn't have to use his, I think that's a prudent idea. Also, I'm sure, you know, the city's paying for gas for Greg's unit, and that's probably about it. And I'm wondering if we should look at some kind of remuneration to Greg for wear and tear on his equipment.
I guess I'm okay with using my stuff as long as, you know, in the future, if we can budget that, you know, like, and then, you know, because, well, like anything, you know, eventually stuff wears out, and I don't, you know, if the pumps or stuff go out on mine, I don't.
Yeah, I assume the city's buying gas.
Yeah, I don't buy my own gas. I just fill it up with the can when I use it, so. Well, like I said, yeah, that's, like Jeremy stated, that's something that I guess if we want to continue, and I think we should, you know, continue spraying and stuff, and like I said, with them ponds, well, we're definitely going to have to keep up on that now. So, I mean, I feel that's something that the city should be able to buy or budget for in the future, like you said, in the 2015 or whatever. So, I guess with that, I have one more thing. Last year, we talked about a snow blower, and there was money put in the budget, I believe. I was just wondering if that's still in there. I used my own last year, and I was just wondering if we do have the money, if that's something that the council would allow me to purchase.
We put like $800 aside for that, I think.
I thought it was $1,000.
I don't remember. I just know with that, you know, with that ramp going down there, I'm not comfortable going out of there with the Bobcat. You could look at the sides of the doors over the years that have been hit when people spin them things out and everything else. I like to blow it out first and then get the Bobcat on there because them, you know, them tires are block tires and they're hard rubber, and you start going down, if you start to spin, you know, I don't care if you're going backwards, you're going faster forward. And plus, I use it a lot on the sides and around the back and everything with all the piping and everything that's back there. That really worked out good. So
it was $1,000.
Do we still have that in the budget? We do. I guess I'm asking then, can I go and purchase one before this snow season?
Check it out, what the options are out there.
Like I said, I got mine down there yet, but I guess, there again, I think the city should maybe own one. So.
Well, we budgeted the money, so.
Okay.
No, of course, if you buy it, we're not going to have any snow. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's all right. I'd like that insurance policy. See what you can get for a good deal.
Yeah. I'll go and talk to Lonnell's. I kind of got some prices from him last year or whatever. So they got a.
What brand?
Aaron's. It's Simplicity, yes, Simplicity they carry. Yeah. They actually, that's a nice heavy duty unit that they got down there. I looked at some last year, so. Let's see, what else is down here? Oh, got two estimates for the heater. For the heating down in the shop, one from Metro Air and one from West Metro Mechanical. You know, I guess that's something too. I asked if we could maybe decide on something. It is starting to get a little chillier down there now. And
who is West Metro Mechanical?
That's I don't have the card with. That's Andy Frank.
Anthony Lofgren.
Yeah, Andy Frank and Tony Lofgren, they both worked for Metro Air for years and years. They broke off and started their own company a few months ago.
They're typically, Andy was the person that usually would end out here from Metro Air and did their work.
Yeah, Andy was always the one that did the installs out here, and Tony was always the repair guy that came out. Like when I had the issue back here, and down in the basement last year, Tony was the repairman from Metro Air that came out. He said they both broke off Metro Air and started their own company now.
Well, it appears they're the winner of the estimates.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Quite a bit here. Now, he's got two, one for 100,000 and a 175, and a 60 and a 100. Which do we... bigger is better?
I would say.
An extra 400 bucks, the way I look at
just
it.
You know, that thing is half underground. There's no insulation in the block or anything like that either. So, yeah, and the doors are open. That's a lot of air in, a lot of air out. Either way, they want to do two because of the wall that we got built in there. Said right now, if you're aware how it is, that's a 275 that's in there right now, that big one that's hanging there, the big used one. That's on one side of the wall, and then they got the thermostat on the shop part. Well, I said when you come down there in the mornings, it's a 30-degree difference when you walk between the walls. You open the door, and it's like a heat blast back there, even with a little fan blowing, trying to blow the air. So they both suggested to do, you know, two separate thermostats and basically two heaters, mm-hmm. one for each side of the shop. So, and they said, too, with that old one, as old as it was, and not very
energy efficient.
They said even the two of them, they said chances are it might not affect the gas bill any more than what the last one was. So
no, I wouldn't think that. Well, maybe we can recycle it and get a little bit of money for that old big thing.
I don't know.
But a pound is pretty heavy, I think.
Yeah.
I think in there they have. I thought this is a marine and disposable unit heater.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, do we want them to just take care of that, or do we want to try to dispose of it and get a few dollars for it?
I don't think we're getting worth what the effort that we put into trying to salvage it.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd even have to probably disassemble it to take it there. Would that be considered an appliance?
Are they to take the stack out then that's there and plug up the hole, or is that our job?
That will be our job.
Okay.
That will be our job, yeah. What they will do there'll be the energy efficient, so it'll be the Schedule 40 PVC that will be coming out the east side of the building, and that'll be our stack. We won't have that great big.
Which will be these are units that are vented to the outside and get the outside combustion air?
Yeah, they're power vented right out. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it'll just be the small, probably 4-inch PVC that comes out and goes down. So it won't have the great big, whatever class chimney that other one has.
Is there an advantage to having it in the back of the shop versus up by the front doors for that one on that side?
What we were going to do is...
halfway or whatever?
Yeah, one of the... Well, you don't want to have them right by the garage doors because, number one, there's not a lot of room there when you open, but that's where you're going to lose your heat. You're going to be blowing the heat towards the doors. That was just their suggestion to do it that way, to put one on each and one and blow it toward the wall and then the other and blow it across. So that was their suggestion for what they thought
was worth. Yeah, that's the norm. You kind of face them.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, one will blow one way and one will blow the other. So.
I take it we haven't got any kind of wiring estimates from anybody for them yet, just...
No.
These guys all say wiring. They both said wiring by someone else.
Yeah. And the wiring, I got to get estimates for that, but that is pretty close to that location. They should be able to go off of, I don't know, whatever. They looked at that, too, whatever, wherever it was there. They said they could tap off the wiring that's there. And also with this location here that they have, the gas pipeline in the center of the shop, there's a big steel beam that comes, and that gas pipeline actually runs all the way through the shop and comes up on the southeast corner, which feeds the one up in the in the hall. Yeah. So that'll be, that wouldn't require a lot. They will just basically tap off for that. They don't need to run a lot of new copper and stuff like that. So that was kind of a handy thing there, too. So
that chimney went on the back, right? Back when we take it down?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Will they plug up the hole going outside when they take it out?
Neither one will. That'll have to be, concrete or block or something like that.
How big of an opening is it?
That's probably a 12-inch opening. For now I could just put a board or something over it, but we'll have to do it in concrete, I suppose, once it's gone. It'll be nice when that's gone, because that thing is always in the way with the caterers and everybody else who uses that back steps there.
And it looks like it's been through the war.
Yeah, it's gotten a little beat up over the years. I don't understand how that got that beat up, but it's kind of dangerous, too. There's some sharp edges where the thing is, and like I said, it'll just be nice to have that gone. So, I think so. I said I would take that down. Yeah.
Well, I think Greg's got a good point that, it's getting colder down there. I was down there on Monday when I got his internet back up and running. So that being said, I'll go make a motion to accept that bid for the $100,000 and $175,000 for $35.95.25, and instruct Greg to get at least two bids for the electrical work to get that operational.
Which one do you want to bid?
That's the two bigger ones.
$3,500. The $175 and the $100.
The other one was $160.
Yeah. No. Wait.
Yeah, that's metro.
Sorry.
It would be the first page of $35.92.25.
Motion made and seconded to go with the West Metro Mechanical bid of
$35.92.25. Where in that budget? Repairs? There's a few options we can look at. I'll take a look at the hall budget and see where we're standing. Worst case scenario, we can assess it at the end of the year. Also, I look at if we want to make a transfer to the city savings account.
Just repair.
Like I said, worst case, we'll look at it. If we have enough projected reserves at the end of the year, we don't need to see to take from savings, but otherwise, city has sufficient savings account set aside for repairs and maintenance. So,
motion has been made and seconded to go with West Metro for two heaters at $3,592.25, with the stipulation of also getting two estimates for the wiring. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
With that, one thing I just want to add, next meeting's probably November 10th, 12th.
I know what you're doing.
Could be cold. Do we want to make something that maybe make another motion that Greg obtain two bids and given the authority to go with the lowest bid so we can get this going? I don't know. Your call, November 10th, 12th, by the next meeting is. I can't tell you where the weather will be, if it'll be 60 or minus 10.
Well, do we have to have the heaters in before the electricians will look as to give a price, or what's the...
I'm not even sure on that, tell you the truth.
I guess they'd have to know if the heaters are 220 or 110.
Yeah.
As far as the blowers are concerned, and where you want the thermostats. So I think they're going to probably want to see the units, the quicker they can get in.
Yeah.
Or 110 or 120 volts here instead.
120 volt wiring.
Yeah, I guess depending on where they go off of, I don't know. Yeah.
I guess contact to them who you feel comfortable with, and then.
Okay.
I guess we should look for a motion then on the wiring aspect of it.
I have to make a motion to go with the lowest bid on electrical on wiring the two heaters for the shop there.
Your second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to give Greg the authority to go with the lowest bid on the electrical work needed for the heater install. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Dick and I talked yesterday about the fence in front of the pump down there. It's going to go with a 4-foot plastic, or like the privacy fence or whatever. You know, the 4 feet will be at or about generator level, which will hide the gas meter and everything on there. You know, if you go any higher, then you're going to be blocking the views of the ball fields or whatever, too. So
it's always needed.
Yeah. So I will. You said they're on sale this week too, right?
I think they're like $30 or something for an 8 by 8 foot wide and 4 feet high.
Yeah. So I'll go and get that in to here probably first part of next week. I got an estimate for the LED light GFI plug-in outlet and a cord for the grinder station. That would finish that off down there. Just wondering if we can approve that or what we want to do with that. Then all that will be left is, well, next year I would paint the green treater once it dries, and then I got some paint for sanding and painting the existing steel box that's down there right now. Sounds like in a day or two it's supposed to be 70. And
so everything is done down there then?
Well, we need a longer cord that will reach to the road come winter. And but yeah, I think everything else is.
We need to light the outlet too.
Yeah. We'd like to get a light on top, so we have light if basically if the however goes out, or just for you know look. And then also, it'd be nice to have that outlet on there too. You know, when I go down there and sand that, I'll have to bring the generator down there to run the sander to sand the thing. You know, if we had an outlet on there, it would be nice to just plug into it or run a cord, but. So,
did you get an estimate for that?
Yeah, there's an estimate from Rob's.
It's in your packet.
Is it?
It's right before the one for the heaters. You got it right there. Don't you? There you go.
I guess I have a couple of questions here. That 30-foot cord that we're going to be getting that will be stored with the generator, they'll be reusing the plug that's been in use down there in 7 years. I think we should stipulate that that would be a new plug. Also, the light to be controlled by the circuit breaker in the panel, I think we should have the same type of a light up here on Jacob Street that we have down at the park. It's an LED light that's photo-controlled. Comes on when the sun goes down, goes off when the sun comes up, goes on when the power goes off, as well as when the power is on. And rather than having a switch inside of the circuit breaker panel to turn it on, you know, if we have a power outage and we have to go and hook up the standby generator, you know, let's just have it as simple as possible. And I guess the other thing, too, is there a reason we didn't get a second bid for that work down there? Seems as though it's over $1,000.
Well, I think it'll be, let's see.
It depends how you want to look at it. Two separate items or one?
That's one proposal, it looks like. And the two projects is one proposal. So I think the fact that we've reached over the $1,000 threshold
I think it requires a second proposal to be obtained.
That's up to council. Something I'll be bringing up in my report.
Basically, it's $40 difference. Rob's is used to what we got. You know what? We've done it to the other one. And I guess on the technicality for $40, I'd say it's get it done.
No, and I don't, Dick, I agree with you. You know, Rob's has done a wonderful job, and I have a lot to tell about that also. But the thing is, it has to be done, and the thing was brought up at the last council meeting, anything over $1,000 has to be, and we have to get two bids. So that's, you know, so are we going to waiver from that? Are we going to have exceptions? That's, you know, I think Rob should do it. There's no question about it. But I think they should give us a new plug, and I think they should give us a light that matches what we have down at the park. Because we know what we've got. We know how it works.
Well, Greg, you could have them put it as two separate bits. Fall under.
Is that light, that LED light, no, that's not the same light as what's down there?
I have no idea what they're specking out. What I'm saying is the light that we have up here should be the same one that we have down there.
It's the same setup. It sounds like this is a different setup too, right?
I have no idea.
By breaker versus
I think we're reading
photo cell.
We're reading it different. It's going to be on a breaker. Okay. The breaker is going to supply the power to it, but it's still going to be...
photo cell. I guess the question is, that'd be the question, is it a photo cell?
It doesn't say photo cell, it's just controlled by a breaker.
We need to verify if it's a photo cell.
All we want is a light that's like we've got down there.
Yeah, I'm reading it as that it's...
yeah, and I agree.
It's on a separate...
it's on a breaker, but can probably a photo cell type light, but it's connected right to the breaker.
I thought the light was ordered already.
No, and it's connected in such a way that it comes on either with the generator or with regular power, as the one down at the park is.
I guess why don't you get it clarified?
I'll check tomorrow.
Because basically they know what they did down there, and if we said we wanted the same.
It would be nice to have the same. I like that. That's a good setup down there that they have. It's, you know, that little light actually gives a lot of light. That, you know, when you go down there, you can see when you need to. So.
We can't get nothing done.
Well, Dick, if you want to break that down into two separate projects, I'm not going to haggle over $40. I was just raising, we said what we said last week at the last meeting. Now we're varying from that. I guess $40, I agree with you. It's not a big deal. So I will make the motion to have Rob's do that with the stipulation that that's a light identical to what's at the park, controlled by a photo cell. They have to put a ground fault and outlet in so Greg can plug his sander or drill in. Plus, we have to have the weatherproof generator input plug installed and a new plug on the cord instead of using the one that's been there.
Right. So I think we're just put it on, get those so it's specified that that's all we want, and put it on two separate ones. And
I second that motion, just get it done.
Motion made and seconded to get the wiring or the lights and the cord as presented with the few changes here and the clarification. All in favor?
Aye.
Is the concept of it's not going to change the price?
What's going to change the price? For
maybe the mail in.
I don't know
if they can't throw us in a $20 mail end and they're getting a $1,000 project.
Yeah.
No. I understand what you're saying. I understand.
Contingent, the price stays the same.
We'll get it clarified.
I will. I won't have them move forward with it unless the price is the same, contingent upon Mr. Odom's motion.
Are we all? There's been a motion and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
That's pretty much all I have. Anybody got any questions of me?
I do. Greg needs a new cordless phone down in his office when I was down there yesterday getting his internet going again. We had to go steal a cord out of the shop because
the one that's in his office, the battery in the phone is dead. It's an old phone. And to buy a new battery, we could get a whole new phone set up with an answering machine that's already included in it. $40, I guess, if he needs it.
Well, with that, too, I just got a, I don't know how it works, but I just got a text that my minutes are very low.
Okay.
So
we have to go out and buy you a card from card Walmart. Or I guess, I think Family Dollar, I think, has got them.
I don't even think we need any kind of vote on that. Just go get what you need, show see it, and submit the bill.
It's probably $100 again, because I think you get an extra $10 if you buy $100. And
that's
fine. You get your best price by buying $100.
Okay. Yeah, like a
dollar card right away. Then it's 10 cents a minute.
They sent me a text stating that my minutes were low or whatever. I just got that yesterday, so I'll do that too then.
Same with the phone, I think. That's a budget item. Purchase it. Under office supplies.
That's pretty much it for me. Any questions?
Greg and I talked about the water leak down at the park bathroom. Do we have any game plan for how to deal with that?
Well,
obviously all the water's shut off now.
If people are coming with their campers, they go by that faucet and there is nothing. Maybe the season is kind of dwindling for that. But
I'm not suggesting we decide to change it tonight, but I think we got to think about
that. Hennings are backlogged.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that hydrant from them. I mean, I did get them to do the dig on the two standpipes on the shutoffs over on Clayton Mockentoons, but like I said, I'm still waiting on them for a hydrant. But I don't know what I got to do. I got to talk to Dennis and see once if he could tell me where it broke before. See, it's not. I shut the water off. There's no water that you could physically see in the bathrooms, but it runs through the meter. So that tells me it's going through the meter, that it's not broke underground. Or it's not broke from the shutoff to the meter. It's broke somewhere under the cement. I don't know. Larry Miller had told me that happened to Dennis once before. If I can talk to Dennis maybe and see if he could tell me where it broke, who fixed it, how it was fixed, was it spliced together, was it a rubber hose and clamp, came apart, I don't know, I can't see, because the floors are painted and everything now, they got that coating on there, we kind of looked the other day, the only stuff we could see where concrete was cut up was where they put the sink in the back, and they hooked that up. Other than that, I don't even know where to start. Or how to find where it would even be. I don't necessarily know if that's a Henning thing, if it's something that...
It'd be nice if we had other issues or... I don't know what the schedule is this year, but I don't know if Rural Water has anything.
The locator?
Because they can kind of...
Do you want me to call that Jeff Dale and
see? That's what I was thinking. Because if you go hydrant to hydrant, or sometimes they have that equipment that can kind of... So maybe if you can go off the curb stop and the meter or something, they can maybe...
Yeah.
I know there's a Tony Scrantz that does that type work, but that's like $600 for him to come out. I don't know if you don't want to drop $600 just for him to locate a little leak in the park.
Yeah, I don't...
It's got to be fixed. Somebody's got to... But the Rural Water will come out.
There wasn't a little leak. You said it was a fairly good gusher.
Well, it was leaking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was coming out.
And so I guess,
under the cement.
If the possibility exists, that floor has to be all ripped up to find a leak to fix it, that's going to impact Chris's project he's got for the handicapped bathrooms there. And I'm wondering, would it be more logical or reasonable to maybe start from scratch on that down there? Demolish the whole thing. That's the things we have to do.
That's if we get grants.
Yeah.
Grant money.
And the issue too of starting from scratch, we have to do new boring, and who knows what we're going to find when that fixed, because of the new regulations and
Did you say there were like 13-foot footings down there?
Yeah, they said there were 13-foot deep footings on that.
Yeah, building. I've been told that also.
Oh, it's on the junk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I would say get a hold of that roll water. See if run it by him.
Talk to that Jeff Dale and see.
Yeah, otherwise we're going to have to start digging and look.
Yeah, just start busting.
We got to get it fixed.
Yeah.
You just can't put a new line in from that building over to the.
Yeah, if you know where it is.
Huh?
If you know where it is. You know, I mean, I don't. It's a matter of what's the best way to go about it.
That line only goes over to the trailer or campers.
No, it splits off and goes the other side too.
Yeah, it goes. That's for watering the plants at the monument and
over to the dump.
All tied up.
And it's all shut off.
Everything is shut off.
All of it now.
Yep, it all comes through 1 meter. And like I said, there was no physical water at all anywhere in the building. You could hear the water just running through the meter, and you could watch the numbers spin. And it was coming out the backside between that and the little cook place there, in between the footings and the cement slab. That's where the water was coming out. So where that's broke under there, I don't know.
And there's also a piece of conduit that comes out of the building on the west side with wires and goes down to the ground, and that ground is sunk now so that those wires are exposed.
Yeah, I want to get some black dirt. There's a lot of holes that need to be filled. That should
well,
be
start with rural up. Water, get after headings. We got to get it fixed.
Yeah.
I jumped him about that hydrant.
What's that?
Jumped him about that hydrant.
Yeah, I will give him another call.
Because I'm getting jumped by insurance to close that out.
Yeah.
And if they can't, then I'll get...
Talk to Jewel
or somebody else.
I know it needs to be cheaper.
Well, the water's off and it's getting cold. Is it something we can push off till spring when everything thaws or not?
That project?
Down there, you mean at the park?
I think for now we should at least try to locate it.
Yeah.
That would get us ahead of the game for spring. I mean, a worst case scenario.
Yeah, I don't think it's being shut off is going to hurt it one bit, but try and find it for spring. But in spring.
Well, what's going to affect me now is I got to blow that out.
Yeah.
Am I going to get the air to the ends? I don't want to bust the line.
Yeah, that's the other problem. Yeah.
I don't want to bust the line underground.
And then have three more leaks in spring.
Yeah, I have three more leaks in the parking lot either. You know,
because you don't get it.
See, that's the problem out. Because I won't be able to blow that out decent with that leak.
That's a good point.
It'd be nice to get it fixed. It found that way it could settle over the winter and spring. And
And like I said, I guess I want to talk to Dennis to see who fixed the last one. You know, was it? You know, how was it fixed?
Do you know if Gary Carlson did that or not?
I don't.
He helped them a lot, I know.
I don't.
With some plumbing.
I guess get a hold of them and see.
Yeah.
We can speculate all we want.
Anything else?
I don't. Counsel, anything for Greg? You don't have anything else, I guess. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Oh, Greg, there was a couple bulbs out in there, and you may have already seen them, but they were on this room, this side by the table, right on top of the table. A couple bulbs were out. Yeah, nothing major. I just thought I'd bring it up to you.
But I don't know, Greg. Just give you a heads up if it's the bulbs or the ballast went out.
Ballast on
there's ground. Nothing. There's no flickering or nothing, so it could be ballast.
We'll move on. City clerk?
Portable restroom rental. With the bathrooms being shut, how long do we want to keep that portable restroom there in the park? Do we want to run it through the end of the month here yet?
I'd say
picked up
after
now, or
after Halloween and then gone.
Okay. So picked up the 3rd? November 3rd, it'd be Monday.
Long for Halloween down there?
Well, if there's people walking and, you know, at least they got some place to go.
I think it's used a lot down there.
I bet now it does.
Different businesses or people coming through, and it's just, I mean, I've got laundry, always cars pulling in there, you know. So
I'd run it through the end of the month. And
When will they be taking that dumpster for the brush by the bank out?
You know, we usually, if the weather's nice, try to keep that as long as we can, but no later than end of November, typically. So, usually we play it by weather, but if all of a sudden it snows right away, we try to get it out of there.
Because we have to go down and, you know, clean out the memorial down there, so that's where we dump this stuff. So.
Yeah, we usually try to keep it, as long as the weather permits, till end of November.
Do we sweep streets in fall?
Yes.
Yeah. I like to wait until the winter is gone.
So you're on that.
So I made contact with him or whatever, and I said, you know, we're on the list. We're always on the list, but I said, I'll call you in. I want to wait till a lot of the season. There's a lot of foliage yet.
Yeah.
It makes me comes at home.
The maples that hang on sometimes.
Do you, flush hydrants this fall too?
Yes, I will be doing that probably next week.
Thanks.
Do we have to have any kind of signage to let people know, like other towns do?
I asked Andy Wakefield four times to make me signs and to give me logos for the Bobcat, and I still haven't got them, so I'm just going to go to Carver County and have them make them. There might be a small charge. Maybe it won't be, but I'm going to go to the sign shop there, and I'm going to do it because apparently Andy's not going to get it done.
Get it done, man. Do it.
Because you got A-frames, right?
Yeah, I got A-frames. I just want to hang some signs over them.
Yeah, so the people know.
Put one on each side of 50 coming in.
You do that, Greg.
What's that?
Have them make a sign to check with me before you go down there. I'll make some notes because I think we could do a national night out one too, and then put it at each end of town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then anything else council can think of, email me, let me know. Might as well just get them all made so we have them, and they can just be interchangeable and all the same.
You know, while we're talking about signs too, the signs out here on the outside of the fire department that are on these poles aren't even readable anymore. They're so faded. The fire department part of the pole and stuff. Is that something we should try to get a price on, something like that too, or don't worry about their signs?
We
go out there, just look at the signs that are on the poles here. You can't even read them anymore.
Well, they're beat up, they've been tipped over, blown over.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're so faded you can't really even see them anymore either. You know, it's a do not park between signs, and then the other one under it says fire department parking only over there. You can't even read them unless you're like standing right next to them.
Can't the cost of those combined with the heading of...
We have $500 in the budget each year to replace signs, so I think we should just replace them.
Get it done.
Right. Anything else for Greg?
Sorry.
All right, just in case you haven't noticed, post office now is reopened at 2:15. Closes at 4:15. So just a heads up.
Oh, they got afternoon hours now?
Yes, it started last Monday. 2:15
to 1.
4:15.
They're still open in the morning.
It's 2 hours. They're still open 7-11 in the morning. Now 2:15 to 4:15.
That's effective immediately?
Last Monday, I believe that was effective. But so that's huge for city anyways aspect. But don't know if it helps many people that work 9 to 5. But just so I thought I'd give you a heads up on that. Other thing, city council meeting, next council meeting is November 11th, which is Veterans Day. Can't conduct business on that day. Do we want to move it to Monday, November 10th? Versus, because I know you work Wednesday, Thursdays, right? So.
Does the fire department do anything that night?
No, it's usually the first and third. I think they have, they have training on the first and last, and then Lions is the third Monday. That would be the second Monday, so I don't think there's anything in
between. They usually have business meeting the last Monday.
So first and last for fire department, third Monday for Lions. So I don't think there's anything typically on the second Monday.
10th is good with me.
I'm not going anywhere.
I don't know if I'll be back to talk. Wednesday? I'll be back.
I won't be.
Well, then he won't be, so it's horse of peace. Council's wishes.
Yeah, that would move to 4th Tuesday of the month. Which rather than normal, that next day.
Let's see, you've got election on the 4th, right?
4th, correct.
So that's the week before.
4th, 11th, and...
Let's go 18th.
18th? Third one?
Cram everything in. The one thing I remember is we'll have reviews, which while we're speaking of that, that's one of the things I want to bring up with employee reviews, which we have one tonight, 6 months. We had Greg's at 6 months. Currently we have in the handbook 6 months and then annually thereafter. That's something we want to change, something I thought. We haven't really got into that because we haven't had a change in employees. Do we want to go 6 months and then at a year? And then annually after that, because what we say now is 6 months, then after that review annually. So I'm trying to see how we want to stagger that and how we want to do that. So I'd like council input on that.
It'd be nice to get it annually.
Because what I'm saying is, like, if you have Sherry now, it's 6 months.
Yeah.
And then do you want to give the review again in November for all employees for the next year? Or do it on their one-year anniversary, you know, because otherwise, you know, like Sherry can be getting 2 raises in, you know, 10 months. It's however council feels they want to stagger that. Just something I happened to look at into today, what we had in the handbook, and.
Well, in the past, you gave them both in November, correct? Is that? The way it was
usually what we did is 6 months and then annually.
Not on their
right. So
not on their
not
on their annual anniversary. At the end, it's just the end of every calendar year is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It would be in November. So, you know, one thing to do is you can do it 6 months and a year, or you can just do the how we have it now, 6 months and then again. And because, like I say, Sherry's having hers now in October. Then she'll be having another one again end of November. So she could possibly get a raise tonight and then another raise right away for...
That's okay. She's not getting a raise anyway.
A couple months for, you know, 2015 right away. I guess I'm open to suggestions or how the council wants to handle it.
Are you saying that employees automatically get evaluations in November?
6 months and then in November annually thereafter.
What's wrong with after 6 months... And then 12 months after that, and then annually.
I'm open to whatever how council wants to do that.
That's what it was set up, right? It's not.
Because I think you're jamming up a council meeting if you got, you know, 3 people that have to have their evaluation.
That's usually how we have it.
Yeah.
You know, or you do it on their anniversary date. That would be another thing to do.
In her case, I guess, when you're coming up next month?
Right.
So, you know, we do you your 6 month, you know, tonight, and then we don't talk to you again about that for another year. You
could be next November. That's what I'm saying.
Is that bad?
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Well, no, it would be 12 months from tonight, so it would be October. So it would be 12 months from there. So you have their 6 month evaluation, and then you go every year thereafter. So she has her 6 month tonight. And in a year from tonight, she has her 1 year. And then 2 years from tonight, she has her 2 year. Mm-hmm. You're going to be here, right? And then three years and 4 years and like that. And like, Greg, you started when?
October.
Yeah, okay. So same thing with Greg.
So you're going by probably start date or not annual.
Well, it would be an annual evaluation, but they wouldn't all be in the same month.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, 12 months from their... when they got off probation, basically.
Did the old system work for you, Jeremy? Doing them, getting all three of them done in November/December?
I didn't get that.
If it worked for you, why change it?
I didn't get a six-month review.
No. That's good. That's just been changed. I thought we had changed that for it was 6 months and then every year after. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, 6 months and then annually thereafter.
Well, why don't we stay with that?
I'm just saying if that's...
But yeah, if we did that, you know, then we wouldn't have three
annually
of them.
In November, it stays.
We wouldn't have three of them in November. We'd have, you know, two in October.
Yeah, we would.
We would, because it's 6 months. If I remember right, when we set that time, it was 6 month review, and then every year after that in November.
Okay, and that's right. What I'm saying, yeah. We change is that we go, you have 6 months, and then 12 annually after on the anniversary of that 6 month date. So, for example, tonight is 6 months, and a year from tonight, the same thing with Greg. Rather than having them all jammed into November, you know, because you got holidays, Thanksgiving, and
I guess I like them all on the same night in November because it's easier for the budget.
Yeah. Again, if the system worked for you, Jeremy, then why change it? Is the way I see it. So we'd have to do Schultz's in next February because if we went with Mr. Odom's system, because we gave him his next April, because we gave him his 6 month review in April. I agree with Mr. Lund. I kind of like it all together right at the end of the year, like it was last year.
So then what are we doing tonight? I'm just going to give a review tonight.
She's got her 6 month.
She's at her 6 months now, and then by next November it'll be another year, it'll be the end of the calendar year anyway. So I mean that would be a normal time. It'd only be stretching another month for her, so it wouldn't be that.
That's
big
right.
It'd be 13 months. Then.
It'd be 13
yeah.
months.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're not changing anything. Is that what we're saying?
If you're fine with that.
So why sure. Why was that even brought up?
I'm just bringing it up. So it's comfortable.
But I just
comfortable with that.
I want you to know that you're going to cheat them.
Or if you want two reviews in a year, I guess that's my only other thing.
That's what we do at work. We do it every 6 months.
I think when we sat down, we talked about doing the review process.
Maybe I looked into it too much.
We were all in agreement on the committee, subcommittee anyway, that 6 months and every November thereafter.
Yes.
The fact that this time it falls.
Because if we keep it how it is, then I would be the only one having a review in November. Yeah. They wouldn't have a review again until next November. All I'm saying is, you go. I guess the way I look at it, you go over. You could when you start, you can go. Oh, in Greg's case, you know, over a year without getting a raise. That's the only bad
right.
thing about
well,
it.
But
I guess if you're compensated
there's
to begin.
Our handbook or our guidance is that just because that the review has to stipulate one or raise to taste buds.
No, there isn't nothing there.
When we go through the budgetary process, we can issue a raise
right.
without going through the
review.
Right.
In our
right.
It says we have to go through a review.
You're right.
Yeah. So
but it just, we've always correlated them together.
Right.
So if we want to go, that's fine. Like I said, I'm not throwing any guidelines out there. I'm just bringing it up, so drop it.
Solution for a problem
that didn't exist. So I didn't even bring it up. Never mind.
Okay.
All right.
Possibly. Are we going to 18?
I don't see why not. We couldn't do that then, considering it's only my review. So we might as well just do it all on the 18th. I think stretching it out to the 25th is too long because we may need to have a budget meeting possibly on that night. So I'd say no later than the 18th.
28th?
Oh, wait. We will have to meet because we will have to canvass election results.
So, I'll be the 10th.
We will have to what?
Canvass election. I'll fill you in tomorrow.
We'll have to verify.
You have to basically.
And when do we have to do that?
After 7 to 10 days
okay.
after
you won't
immediately following.
Time to
yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Calendar days or business days?
I'd have to look to recall. I think it's 7 business days.
That would make sense.
I think it's 7 business days. Yeah. So we have to do that by the 11th anyways, I bet.
Well, not if it's business days.
Not if it's business days, but.
Tell me in the last day.
Okay, the first day is November 7th that we can do it. November 14th is the last day. Last day for City Council to meet as canvassing board for municipal election to declare results. So I said 10th or 12th. I guess we're back to. If I ever die, this is your city Bible, so this way.
Tenth works for me.
Well, hopefully you'll get yours and then you'll be here.
But either day works for me, whatever. Tenth or the 12th works for me. It doesn't really matter to me.
Tentatively 10th, Monday?
Yeah.
Not 10th. Motion?
So moved.
Sorry.
Motion made and seconded to have the next council meeting November 10th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Don't want to take too much time, but something to consider. I did email it out to council. September city purchasing policy in relation to bids, because I don't want that to all of a sudden become a big issue. I mean, we already ran into it tonight, but moving forward here, I know we talked about the 1,000 threshold. If we want to stay with that and just verify and clarify that for per, I guess not estimate but item. That we want to say anything over 1,000 is going to require at least 2 bids. Something also, if we want to go that route, the thing we may want to look at in the purchasing policy, basically under 1,000 doesn't require nothing. And even purchases not requiring quotes, we state 1,000 to 25,000, which I think is a bit excessive. I mean, because I think once you get into, you know, a few $1,000 range, it's good to get estimates to kind of keep people honest. So, something to consider. I'm just bringing it up now. I will send it out again in case you didn't get it. It's something to look at. You may want to change that, tighten up that purchasing policy a little bit. Because right now, anyways, can make purchases in the open market from 1,000 to 25,000. But it needs to have approval from council. Basically, we're saying 25 to 100,000 require at least 2 quotes. So, something to consider. Jaguar Communication. I've called, left them messages. I have emailed them numerous times. I keep playing phone tag with. I got a new person now, a Jonathan, versus that Rick Hansen, and I don't know. What's going on there? Just no communication from them since last council meeting. I've been trying since last council meeting to try to get a hold of them just to kind of get an update as to what's going on. I mean, I don't want to assume, but I'd have to think we're in October, so nothing's going this year. But it would be nice at least to get a phone call back. I mean, he did give me an email and say, I'll call you this afternoon. He never called. I called him back, left a message. He never got back to me. I sent another email. I mean, I have a paper trail to show that I have tried to communicate with them, so I don't know what's going on. I've dealt with 2 people. I'll continue to work on it because it would be nice to know what their intentions are.
Well, there was an article in the Arlington paper where they want to get into Green Isle. So.
Well, they were all gung-ho to get going here last spring.
It sounded like they're going to have service already.
They said we would have service by September, you know, and now, you know, if we can't get them to get the initial service in, if it was in and we had a problem, you know, yeah, what kind of a problem is that going to present for us?
So, I don't know. It's just, it'd be nice just to have an update and say, yeah, in spring, can we meet spring sometime? Won't be till spring? Fine. You know, it'd be nice to at least get that, because I've even said that in my email.
And you're the ones that are responsible for maintaining the Carver County fiber optic line as well? Or is that?
No, just the private portion of it. They bought some of it that they own, so that's their responsibility. I don't think the what the county owns. I don't think, unless they contract them to do their repairs.
When we were having the lines marked down there, Jaguar came out and they marked it to the Carver County line, so that's why I assume.
Could be that possibility if the county's contracted with them, but. Yeah, I'll do some more digging into it because it'd be nice to at least, council should have an update at least when they did say that they were going to basically have service already.
If you don't get anything by the next CCL meeting on the 28th, you just want to summarize that Monday night and shoot me an email and I'll ask people if this is.
Okay, sure, I'll do that.
I wouldn't waste
if anybody else has got.
Yeah. I wouldn't waste too much time on them. I mean, if they're not that interested, then, you know, because it don't take up too much of your own time, unless I'm wrong.
You got
other things to do.
I know, but it takes that's 2 minutes for them. It's kind of annoying that they can't get back. Other thing, insurance claims. Everything's been submitted. The only thing really waiting on the garage door is done. Like we said, the grinder station's lifting up. Last Friday, we got the billing for Rob's. Mm-hmm. So I've submitted all that. So we got the ball rolling on all the claims, but the only thing we need to get is just the hydrant, you know, getting the installation costs on that, and that's submitted insurance. So knock on wood, hopefully we're good for the next couple of years now on claims. So that everything's been submitted there, like I said, minus the installation of the hydrant. Ordinance 147 in relation to council and mayor wages. I suppose we can take discussion on that now.
Well, the consensus was that after, 12 years, it was probably due. So I guess at this point is we have to make a motion if that's what we want, starting next year. And if we want to nix that one line in herein, the ordinance of not to exceed payment for two special meetings a month. We don't know what can happen down in the future.
Yeah. I said, normally it hasn't been a problem, but like I said, this year tends to be the exception to everything. But, you know, this year is where we've kind of run into it. And the other thing may be is even like, you know, if Chris, we have a couple special meetings and then he's doing CCL and whatever else you may be involved in, you know, or another council member that sits on a board. Yeah, I was just going to say, if you have the personnel committee, something comes up, and that's, you know, 4 times a month. So it very easily can happen.
So what's your thoughts? I mean, otherwise, we should look for a motion, what we're going to do, and if we want to get rid of that part of the two special meeting deal in the ordinance, that would be the time.
I'll move to approve ordinance number 147, striking the
not to exceed payment for two special meetings per month. And just put a period there where the comma is and call it good.
Is that right?
Because then we're just saying you get $50 for each special meeting attended, and then we're eliminating the.
The after the comma.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve ordinance number 147 with the exclusion of the not to exceed payment for two special meetings per month. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Motion carried. Let's see. Continue.
Let's see, what else? Health insurance. Just done it a little earlier this year because last year we moved up. Usually we have renewal in January, but now our renewal is December 1st. So about the best I've come up with would be for the city to switch from preferred one to health partners. You see that overall cost is about almost 28% increase. In the budget, I had stated 35, but as I'm doing the calculations and looking at it, 28%. And it is. It's crazy. And I did have about an hour-long conversation with Al Roth with AT Group, and it has to do all with us now on the Obamacare regulations. Because before last year when we switched, we did it in December. And if you recall, I think we cut our costs actually by 10% compared to the year before by doing that. And he says when most switched over, it was about a 30 to 35% jump when they went on to Obamacare in these groups. What? I think this year he was saying if you're already on Obamacare regulations, there's 4.5% is about what premiums went up.
Okay.
Should that be changed to total Greg, not total Dennis?
I would think so.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I apologize to Greg.
Why is like Greg and his wife 37.49%? What the heck? Where does this fall in? That's ridiculous.
And really the problem is it just goes by age. It's not discrimination.
It isn't even as much Obamacare as it is the SGR bill they keep passing every year. Because Medicare is going to keep taking more and more from the doctors, but the congressmen don't want to do that because they know their constituents will be up in arms. So as of April 1st this year, they passed the SGR bill once again, pretty much froze Medicare and everything that it was supposed to do. And they've been doing that for 10 years now.
Bob, what's SGR stand for?
Yeah.
What? What's SGR stand for?
Sustained growth rate. Mm-hmm.
And the thing, the best I could explain it, that Al explained it to me, is the reason why these big jumps once you get on the Obamacare regulations is because, like, how we were before our current policy, we were put into small pools. So it was based on, they look at it and go, okay, you can be in this pool because you have a low risk factor. So it's basically based on what you had for claims and, you know, and your risk. So you're assigned a risk factor of 0.75 to 1.25. So we were always at a 0.75, the lowest risk factor. So we were put into that group. We got better rates. Problem is, with Obamacare, everybody's the same. There's no risk factor. Because of the rules and regulations, and he said the biggest one is because now you can't rule people out for existing conditions, mm-hmm. and all the stipulations and the rules and regulations that they put in the Affordable Health Care Act, which I think needs to be renamed. It's not affordable. So, like I said, I sat on the phone with an hour of him trying to, you know, get this so I could relay some information. But he said the biggest thing is because of the pooling now. And to put it, I guess, in the most polite way is the way it is. It just says, you know, now you're paying for basically people that aren't healthy now. You're paying an extra share.
Okay, what happens if we don't renew by December 1st and it might be after the fact? Are they going to cut us?
We don't have insurance.
Well, I can't see that. I'm totally just as nuts. I know what our increase is at work.
Because the
reason. That's nothing anything close to this.
Well, what was it last year? Do you know that?
For
what it went up last year?
Ours at work?
Yeah.
4%.
Last year. Really?
Yes.
See, ours didn't go up at all. Our renewal date is July 1st, and it didn't change at all this
year. And ours is 13 coming up for next year. So when I'm looking at 37 or 27...
I can give you Al's number. I mean, if
it
we stayed...
Me away.
I agree. I if we stayed with Preferred One, it'd be 46%. Mm-hmm. And if we went to Blue Cross, it's 51%.
Just, what's our total city budget? Was it 498,000?
About half a million, you know, if you're going to say ballpark.
You figure 500,000. If we figure the way insurance is going and salaries and whatever, we're going to have 25% of that used up just in that. You know? I don't see it. I know we need insurance. What are other cities doing?
Preferred One really
jumped
that high.
Yeah.
I know they left the exchange.
Yeah, they did. They were 46%.
Greg, what did you have with the county?
What kind of insurance?
Yeah.
Last year's health partners.
Did you have a deductible?
Do you have HRA or HSA? Do you know the plan?
HSA. We had choices there. We had there was A, B, or C plan, and you can go by your deductible as to how much it cost. They really pushed the high deductible.
True.
But, that's what, like I said, you could have A, B, or C is what we had there. And, like I said, the county really pushed the high deductible, which was the C that time. Like I said, we had health partners at that time, but like I said, we had a choice as to. I had a $4,000 deductible, was what I had when I worked there. So,
that family or single?
Family.
That's what this is $4,000.
So, okay, $4,000. Now, that was your deductible.
Yeah.
And did the county fund that?
$2,500.
Yep. What are, like, Mayor of Germany, Norwood? Does anybody know what they do?
I don't. Honestly, I don't. I can look at that.
We got till December 1st, so.
Actually, we'll need to decide at next council meeting because I have to have that renewal in.
Why don't you just put a freaking noose around your neck?
January 1st, it's not going to.
December 1st.
No, I know, but I mean, say January 1st, the difference in premium is going to be a change. Correct. Like if
no matter when we change, it'll be a difference because now we'll be on the Obamacare.
Right.
So, like if you're saying, I guess I want to make sure I'm following right. Are you looking to extend it 1 month with preferred one or?
Well, no. I mean, or if we went to the January 1, got back on a calendar year,
mm-hmm.
in that, would we still be looking at a 20% to 30% increase?
46.
Or would the increase be different?
46, same
so
increase.
Today, that
there's no difference in. Because, like I said, what it is because we're going, now we have to abide by Obamacare rules. Because our current contract, we don't have to abide by that. That's why our rates are lower. But see, anything we go to now, because anything you renew after the first of this year is going to be on Affordable Health Care Act terms. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
We can't. No. We can, but it'll be at higher rates.
The reason I asked that, I didn't know.
Because I asked that too to Ale, if we can get back to calendar year, because I just like that better. You know what I mean? And that's what he basically had said, is that, yeah, you can do it for December, but you're going to pay the same premiums.
Yeah, let's see what we can come up with.
So I'd ask, can we do it for 13 months or something? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah, the other thing, too, is if we want to get back on the calendar, ask Al about Blue Cross Blue Shield and gap insurance and see if we can use that for 1 month. Because if it's how I've understood it, it'll be significantly less for that 1 month than the $4,300. Significantly less. And then we get back on calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I will ask one more.
All right.
And I'll also ask them any other options to get what we can do to get back to the calendar year. Mm-hmm. You know, the best options or best practices. I mean, I don't know, from what he's explaining, just, I don't know, I can also ask him while I have him on the phone, is just as why the big jump, other than just now we have to abide by Obamacare, when I've talked to others and said their insurance didn't go up 30% when they went on under the Affordable Health Care Act rules and regulations.
Would the League of Minnesota Cities have any answers or advice or information?
No, they don't provide health or, I don't
know. No, but I mean as to what other cities are doing. Because I'm sure, like you said, we're not unique to this.
No.
And also, I think I've asked him, but I will double check. As far as, you know, other options that's going on, MinSure, what, or if that's better options or not. But it sounds like them are the same plans.
Well, we'll see once we come up with that. This just is a real sore spot.
Yeah. I agree, because I'm sitting here looking at it. If I got to take a pay cut, I don't know if I can afford to take a pay cut. You know, I mean, and it's like anybody else that's gone on with the affordable health care is, how's this helping anybody when people are getting less taken out of their paycheck because of insurance?
It's helping. I'm not defending it, but it's helping people like waitresses and waiters that are minimum wage, that are not technically classified as part-time. They have to get health insurance, but the cheapest what they're getting for the most part are Medicaid replacement plans, which are the MA plans, which probably average about $45 a month. But most doctors don't like Medicare or Medicaid because we don't get crap out of them. We get Medicaid. We get MA. We get somebody comes in with MA. We don't get paid nothing.
Doctors and clinics aren't obligated to take Medicare or Medicaid. They take it because of other reasons, but they're not obligated to take that insurance.
It's a mess.
Yeah. Well, let's move on. I've had enough of this area.
All right. Just so heads up for next meeting, we do have to address it. So I wanted to bring it up now, so it's not hopefully as big of a discussion.
Send the Excel sheet with scrub any
private info or whatever. This sheet.
Yeah. Because I think it would be good for Senator Hortman, Senator Franken, and Senator.
I'll send you that and what AT Group sent me.
But you know what? They don't even have to apply to any of these health insurance rules. That gets me.
Well, you know, I understand everything's going up, but like everybody said, I almost fainted when I seen the.
Is there any way you can contact any other brokers? I mean, I know MinSure is a pain in the rear because they don't know what they're doing yet and they're still having problems over there, but there are a lot of different brokers out there that that are trying to get better deals for people on their insurance. Is it worth your time to try to contact any different ones or not?
Most cities use this AT group because they specifically deal with these type groups. And I really think they go to bat for you to find things, but I don't know. It'd be nice to have answers as to why.
Yeah, this is
28%.
This is
ridiculous.
Take or leave it. Boom, bang. Yeah,
like I said, I don't see how you can call it the Affordable Health Care Act. Yeah, maybe for the poor. But once again, you're borrowing from the middle class and making them poorer. Keep pushing us closer to.
Wouldn't surprise me if we go to socialized medicine in the next 15 years.
Anyway.
Well, that's...
That's it. All I got.
Okay. What do we got here? We'll move on. Added September claims, which are...
I move it to the one ash payment, check number 1691 to 1698 for a total of
11,340.11. Hang on here.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, on the October claims.
Let's go September first.
I'll come back to you on that.
Did you have a question on the September one?
No, I get it.
Okay. So, there's been a motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve check 16981 to 16998 with the one etch payment for a total of $11,340.11. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now, we'll go on to the October one, which is a...
Please refer to the separate page that was handed out today.
Yes, to hand it out. Okay. Did it go down?
No. Does it ever go down?
You can ask. Okay, October claims list. The new and improved sheet that was handed out tonight.
I have a question.
the Carver County telephone internet fees for $167.78. That seems low to me. Is it?
No, we look at monitored every month. It's $75 for the internet,
right.
And then it was like $90-something for phones.
Because I thought we were paying like $250 a month or something to them.
No, it's usually about $175.
I would say it's usually around right around $175.
Okay.
It was a little less this month, I think. It's just long.
And that's dictated, really, the change would be dictated in long distance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One month, if I believe, one of the first months, it was a little more because
they did partial.
Right, it was a
month,
partial month, and then
when we started, and yeah, the one was $250-something.
Okay.
But the last couple months, it's been right around $175.
And then Sherry called me here a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the existing CenturyLink bills, and I guess I'm comfortable that we've reached the right billing for them. So
yeah.
I guess I see no reason for you to keep sending me the CenturyLink bills every month if it's in that $85 to $90 bracket. I think it's just
okay. It's
probably accurate. The other thing, I'll talk about that later.
I've just got one. The 17013. What are we paying for supplies for Fire Prevention Week, if I may ask?
That's something that's basically in there every year. So when they put on, and we did approve that a few years back, to have that in the fire department budget.
I don't remember from when I did
for
it.
For like
so.
250, probably 3 years, I'd say. So they do have it in their budget for like $250
okay. To
buy fire prevention supplies. So when they have the school come here and that type of stuff, so the packets they put together for all the school kids. That's what that's in relation to, which, incidentally, they had Friday, last Friday.
Mm-hmm. Just curious.
Yeah, so it is a budget item.
Any other questions on the October claims?
Need to approve the 5 batch payments in 16999, check number 17025, total 62851.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the October claims list. We have 5 ATCH payments and checks number 16999 to 17035, total 62,851.21. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll go on to our council reports. Mr. Odoms.
We got our water bill here last week or whenever it was, and we were only billed for 1,000 gallons of water usage, which is the lowest we've ever had. And I'm wondering, could there be an error there?
I guess if you want mine, or you have an outside reader, right? Make note to have Greg reread
Greg
it tomorrow.
Yours.
Then we'll know. If it's reading the same, then we probably have an issue. So yeah, we can definitely, we'll make note and we'll check that. We'll have Greg reread it tomorrow.
Is there any way that the city has a checks and balances system so that...
Yeah, the system will red flag it if it's without a certain percentage. It'll go red. It'll give you a check mark and say usage high, usage
right.
too low.
It'll say when I'm entering, it'll say usage high, usage low, which is nice. However, the last couple months has been real tricky because we had a really wet summer at the beginning, so nobody was watering. And then you had, say, the last couple months where people started watering. So then your water usage went really high. So now when you stop watering, it'll flag again usage low because it's based on the last few months you were watering and you're really high.
Yeah,
so that's probably how yours kind of felt because you do water, right? I believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it would have flagged it when I was entering it that it was low.
It should have because like our last water bill was $166.
Because you were probably watering that month.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, yeah. We've never had, you know, 1,000 gallons.
Right.
That seems really 1,000 low.
1,000 does seem
yeah.
low.
That's very low.
We can have
and averages should be.
It's always been 2,000 or better.
I was going to say 2 to 3 is what you guys should be at. Unless you have a 1,000 gallon reader. That's another thing that could come into play.
That hasn't tripped
versus, either. Right, versus 100. I hate 1,000 gallon reads. I told Greg if he buys them, I'm going to make them drive down and return them because it just creates these issues.
Yeah, you could have been on the just to the tipping point, but not.
But it didn't
I
flip
that's
over.
That's what it is because that's what I got too.
Yeah, I hate them 1,000 gallon reads because we run into this issue. And it just, one, you know, now next month it could be 4 because
it'll catch up.
It just tripped after we
I'll look into it.
So we'll research. Definitely we can research it.
No matter what.
And when you get your bill, don't give us a call right away. You know, anybody has issues with their water bill, just call us right away and we'll look into it. Greg's pretty good about rereading, so.
That's all I got.
Bob?
I got nothing except for that hole by the dumpsters at the hall there. We got another wedding coming up, and I saw some gal trip over there. She may have been drunk last weekend, but.
Talked to Brad twice about doing patching. Greg also has. So I'll talk to Greg tomorrow morning again or call Brad and see if we can't get that done.
That's all I got.
Mr. Hund.
My plan is the CCL meeting will be at the end of the month, so if anybody has anything they want me to address to the group, let me know.
Insurance.
Mr. Trenish?
I don't have anyone.
Neither do I. Okay, now, go to the card. Now, do we have to recess it if Sherry...
Unless she agrees to have it open.
Does it matter?
It's just it'll be public info, and it'll be put on the website, the tape, so it's a matter of...
What's your call? Whatever you wish.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Does it matter, don't you?
Just if it makes you comfortable.
But before we go to that, can I just butt in real quick, just to make sure?
You're on the list, so go ahead.
As far as reviews now, we're keeping it as is, right? So really, Sherry will get a review now. Greg had his whenever. Greg won't get another review till next November, right? Sherry won't get hers till next November. Okay, just want to make sure of that, so we're...
Anyway, Sherry, if it'll make you feel more comfortable, you know, don't feel uncomfortable requesting a closed meeting.
Because
everybody has done that in the past.
We're going to bash you either way, so it doesn't
matter.
That's fine.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to recess the city council meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Anything else for the good of the city? Otherwise, I'd ask for a motion.
So moved.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you.